Listening, just tuning in to First Baptist Church. You are listening to us on 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. We are, of course, you can listen to us all over the United States and the world, fbctag.com. And then, of course, you can tune in to WMKT, the talk station.com. And listen to us there. We are in the book of Acts. If you'd like to take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts. We have been looking at this book now for some weeks. I understand that the last time my cousin in Grand Rapids taught through this, it took him 8 or 10 years. And I don't want to do that. So there'll be a lot of really interesting things that we'll touch on that we only have the time to touch on a little. But we'll start today. Acts chapter 8, and we'll be beginning in verse 26. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll speak to our hearts through the opening of your word. There is no book like this Bible, written by yourself and men as you partnered with them in directing their hands and their thoughts, and even the experiences that shaped their lives and their education. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit now today helps us to understand. Bless those who are listening, both here and elsewhere. May we understand the big ideas of your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now remember, they had just come from the Samaritan city of Samaria, northern Israel. And they were a cult, but they had accepted Christ as Savior. Verse 27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? I don't know when the switch occurred, but you understand that for time immemorial, everyone on earth who read out loud. No one ever read silently. If you were in a library, you read out loud. And of course, all the murmuring worked together. So that's why Philip can hear him reading. So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him, and the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the beginning of the scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till they came to Caesarea. Now, we didn't stop to take note of the details, but we'll talk a little bit about what's going on. and maybe some of the details will come clear as we talk. First of all, this is the treasurer of the Ethiopian queen, Candace. And so he is black. Philip has just come from the white village of the Samaritans. Now, I don't know if anyone within the sound of my voice needs to hear this, but within my lifetime, I have heard people be prejudiced racially. Some years ago, 40 years ago, a group of my friends went out to eat. Before they ate in the restaurant, they had a word of grace, and after about 25 minutes, one of the people at the table next to them came over and said, "Excuse me, I saw your people ask the Lord to bless your food. That's great. I just heard you talking about porch monkeys. What are you doing?" That just kind of riles my gizzard, hey? Not that he should reproach them, but that any Christian should talk like that. Yeah. You understand that the Samaritans were white, but they were despised because they were, if you will, a mongrel, quotation marks, race. And they were a cult. They were poor. They were not wealthy. And so, Philip went from a mongrel despised white race to a black revered, respected race in his ministrations. It's exactly backwards of what we might think it is today. We think today that race discrimination is universal. It's not. And in the history of the world, race or color meant absolutely nothing. White people enslaved white people. If the Assyrians fought the Israelites, they enslaved the Israelites. White people enslaved white people. So let's just get that out of the way, okay? It's one of my things that God doesn't care at all about race. Thank you for saying amen. Because it's true. He created the black man to be his friend. He created the Oriental man to be his friend. He created the American Indian to be his friend. All equally. So, I'll just leave that there. On the other hand, this man is a eunuch. And that is important to him and to the story. If you read The Last Emperor of China, which is a fascinating book, there was a movie made from it. The Last Emperor was fascinating. He was caught in the transition between the empire and the communist takeover. And so he talks about what it was like to be an emperor in the Forbidden City. The eunuchs that he interacted with, he described, were not motivated to build a life. It takes a family to build a life around. And so if you have no family and you have no heritage to pass on, then there's no reason to try to build anything. And the eunuchs that he knew were all slanderers and liars and thieves, trying to, of course, you know, living in the most richest city in the world, you can steal things from the palace and, get away with it. And so they have no legacy. This eunuch had no family, and no wife, and no children, and no legacy to pass on. He is adrift. I thought this week of Caruso, Enrico Caruso. He had been made a eunuch as well by people who wanted to have him be a great singer. I don't know if it was his parents or who it was. So I went on the internet. You can actually listen to the man sing. It was 100 years ago, you know, and they still did that stuff. Nobody asked Mr. Caruso, hey, would you like a surgery where you'll never have a wife or children? You'll be alone all of your rest of your life. You'll be a better singer. You'll be able to hit the high notes. You'll make more money. Nobody asked him that. Well, nobody asked this eunuch, would you like this surgery? It was foisted upon him as it was upon Daniel. And so this eunuch here has no family. He has no legacy. He has nothing to pass on and nothing to pass anything on to. When this man arrived at the Jewish temple, he found out quickly that he was not welcome in the temple. God had said, eunuchs may not go in, neither may the blind or the lame, or the people who are sick, or the people who have discharges, male or female. You can't go in. Well, now that seems kind of cruel, but it's not, because this is the promise of eternal life. When you go in the final temple, you will be holy and healthy. There will be no blindness, there'll be no lameness, there'll be no eunuchness. You'll all be healthy and whole. And so he found out quickly, though, that despite that, and more than that, the Jewish temple did not want him around. Remember the booths of the animal sacrifices that Jesus kicked out of the temple? Well, Jesus is dead and in heaven, and, died and rose again and is alive in heaven. But so there's nobody to kick the buyers and the sellers out anymore. So they're back. And where are they? They're in the court of the Gentiles. When the Ethiopian eunuch says, where shall I pray? Oh, right over there with the cows. Right over there with the sheep. Right over there with the pigeons. With the people buying and selling and exchanging foreign money. Well, how am I supposed to pray there? Well, we don't care. And so he understood that he was not welcome there. I will remind you as we went through there, I didn't stop for that. How was he baptized then? By Philip, who was there looking for him. How was he baptized? He was baptized when he came to a body of water. If baptism is by sprinkling, why didn't he say, I have a canteen, let's just do it right now? Because baptism was never by sprinkling. It was always by immersion. The Greek word baptize means to immerse. Amen. And to go completely into and under the water. And so that is how it is presented in every passage of the Bible. Because it is a picture of the Holy Spirit cleansing our hearts. And I was not sprinkled by the Holy Spirit. I was washed by the Holy Spirit. My whole heart. I want us to also recognize that Philip knew the gospel, the Bible, the book of Isaiah, well enough to explain it on a minute's notice. How many of us could go to the book of Isaiah and lead somebody to the Lord? He could do that. Why? Because he has had good teaching, but he's been applying himself to understanding the Bible. The Christians of his day that he's a member of, that church, they had always understood and read Isaiah, but now that Jesus has been among them and done Isaiah 53, now they're really studying and saying, how's that apply to Jesus? How's that apply to Jesus? What's this say about Jesus? Now they can understand how his life fulfills the whole book of Isaiah, and in particular, the 53rd chapter, which he was reading. The central idea, of course, of the Bible is in this passage that God himself became a human to pay for our sin. John said later on, if you don't believe that, you are not a Christian, you will not go to heaven. You must believe that God became a human and joined us. So the early church focused on this. That's why Philip knows this well. It's interesting that this eunuch, this Ethiopian eunuch, envoy, wanted to be baptized. His servants are watching. You say, so what? Yes, but when they get back to Ethiopia, what are the servants going to do? They're going to gossip. Know that our boss got baptized? What in the world is that? Well, he went down into the creek or whatever and got completely immersed. Came up, was completely wet and completely clean. Well, why did he do that? Well, he joined Yeshua, the Messiah of the church. Oh, you mean the church that Israel is trying to destroy? You mean the Messiah that Israel killed, that Rome killed? You mean the Messiah that was a friend of Stephen and they killed Stephen too? You mean to say that the Ethiopian eunuch, your master, went down there to meet with Israel on business matters and joined Israel's enemies? The church, the Christians. Think about that. That was a very scary thing for him to do. If his mistress, Candace, decides she doesn't like him betraying her interests, she can fire him. When you get fired from being treasurer, what happens to you? You get a big haircut, you know, right at your throat, because they can't have people talking about, you know, state secrets who are disgruntled. It could cost him his life. And instead, he said, I want to be part of the church. I want to be a follower of this man that was executed with rebels, who was executed for being a rebel, who was executed in shame on a cross and publicly humiliated. I want to be a follower of that guy. Why would he do that? Let me give you my answers, my thoughts. First of all, he wanted to be saved from his sin. That's why he went to the temple. That's why he visited the temple. That's why he bought the Bible. He's looking for the Savior, the Creator. He's looking for a solution to his sin problem. He wants to feel clean, and he wants to feel clean all the rest of his life. This is why, when we accept the Lord as our Savior, we should immediately be baptized so that we will connect those two events. We should not wait 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 6 years. We should be saved on Tuesday and baptized as quick as we can understand what we're doing. If that's Tuesday evening, then that's Tuesday evening. If that's Sunday morning, 5 days later, then it's 5 days later. You must understand what you're doing, but you should be baptized as soon as you have believed. So that in your mind you can say for the rest of your life, I am clean. God has washed me. The Holy Spirit has completely cleaned me. I have no sin between me and Him. I will go to heaven. It's very important because everyone sins after they're born again. No one is perfect forever. They need that baptism moment, that ceremony, when the church looks at them and says, we believe you are born again. And when they go into the baptismal water, then they can know that God has cleaned them. The second reason the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized was because he wanted to show his servants that he believed in Jesus. He didn't want them gossiping about him, didn't want them wondering about him. He wanted to show them because he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was not ashamed of the church of Jesus. He was not ashamed of the God of Jesus. With Paul talking to the Romans, I'm not ashamed. Come on, don't you be ashamed. And so that's what the Ethiopian eunuch is doing. He is not ashamed. He has understood the gospel. He's understood the Lord's love for him. The third reason is that he understands that he'll be joining all the other believers who've gone before him. Colossians 1:12. The Father has qualified us to be partakers of what? Of the inheritance of whom? Of the saints in light. All of the holy people who have gone to heaven, we become joined with when we're born again. And baptism is that public act of saying, I want to be with Jesus, with those people, with Moses who believed in Jesus, with Isaiah who believed in Jesus, with David who believed in Jesus. We want to join them. Of course, he thought, he only knew that he was joining Peter and Andrew and Matthew and, you know, those guys. But we know now that he was joining Athanasius and the other great saints, Martin Luther, the other great saints of the following centuries. We all have been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who are already in the light. And so we are baptized to join all of them. The fourth reason he wanted to be baptized, not out of a canteen, was because he wanted Jesus to have all of him. In my first church, I was a young pastor, and we said, I understand there are some people who want to be baptized, you know, average age of 8, and so we'll meet after church in the basement. So I went down there, and there's a grandma standing there, and she was of a different denomination, and she said, I want to be baptized. Let me talk with you first, Rita, and then we'll talk about baptism. And so I met with her, and she said she had accepted the Lord as her Savior just the last week, and that this church was what she wanted to be part of. She wanted to be part of Jesus, and so we baptized her. And I went over and talked to her husband, Joe. And Joe, you understand what Rita is doing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe, you want to talk about what she's doing? No. And, Joe, you know, if you ever want to talk to me about it, I'd be glad to. Don't you ever think that I'm going to do what she's doing. You know, old gruff duper dude. And so a month later, I'm baptizing him. Because his wife had led him to the Lord during partridge hunting. But she didn't want to be in heaven alone. And so I immersed him. But the top half inch didn't go under the water. But he came up and he said, you didn't get me all. And he said, well, let's do it again then. And we got them all. He wanted to be immersed in the Savior. He wanted Jesus to have all of him, not just a lot of him. The fifth reason that he wanted to be baptized was out of gratitude. Let's turn real quickly to Isaiah chapter 53. Again, this is a monstrous passage. Let's see what it says. We'll start at the last verse. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore I will divide with him, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the portion with the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Look with me at this chapter, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. We were wayward sheep. So what did Jesus become? A sheep who was under the same condemnation as we, not for his own sin, but for our sin. Look, verse 9. They made his grave with the wicked. He joined us in that. Verse 11. The Father shall see the labor of the Son's soul and be satisfied. He joined us and took our travail. He took our punishment. Verse 11, again, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The Ethiopian eunuch understood that God had joined him. No one had ever joined him in his life. He has no one to join himself to. The poorest man in Ethiopia looks down on the Ethiopian eunuch, because the poorest man in Ethiopia has a wife and children and a legacy. No one has ever joined this man, except for Jesus. That was the point that Philip made to him. Isaiah 53, Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. Isaiah 54, God will never be angry with us again. He has sworn it. Isaiah 55, come, buy, and eat without a cost and without price. Accept life. Isaiah 56. You see, these chapters are all connected. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3. Do not let the son of the foreigner, well, that's the Ethiopian, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, well, that's the Ethiopian eunuch, here I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, even to those people I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall never be cut off. The Ethiopian eunuch joined Jesus publicly, because Jesus publicly had joined him in his plight. Jesus was born a human. He joined us. Jesus was circumcised into Israel. He joined us. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist to join us. Jesus joined us in our bondage when they tied his hands behind his back. He joined us in our shame when they took off his clothing. He joined us in our pain when they nailed his hands to the cross. They joined us in our humiliation when they lifted him up. He joined us in our death when he cried, "It is finished." He joined you. So what shouldn't we join him? First, through being born again. Second, by being baptized, immersed. I have a will so that I can leave people stuff. This Ethiopian eunuch had no one to leave anything to. But now he does. Because salvation and worship and eternal life is something you can pass on to people that are not your children. This is what Paul did. Paul was an intentional eunuch. He chose to be a eunuch, not physically, but maritally. Jesus talked about that. And Paul wrote his son, Timothy, and Titus, and Epaphroditus, and his other friends, because he could pass on to them what he never had on his own. The Ethiopian eunuch heard this letter of Isaiah written to him, and he put his name there. Have you ever read your name in the Bible? For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that you should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the wonderful act of love that the incarnation was, and how complete it was, and how intentional it was. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Philip didn't see any color here when he saw this man at all. He talked to him as a human. He talked to the Samaritans as humans. Just didn't care about their background. He loved them. Because Jesus loved them, and you loved and created them. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Draw us to your side. Teach us to worship by obedience, and letting you work in our hearts. Amen. If the girls would come and lead us in our final song.
All I have is Christ. We'll find out on the back of your bullets.